chapter 11 and verse number 7. If you'll turn over there, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 7. We're spread out today. We have folks in California. We have folks in Illinois. We have folks in Kansas. I guess Idaho. We're Idaho, Minnesota. Did I say Minnesota? All right, we are spread out. And we miss much of our church family. If you're visiting, we're glad you're here. And let's carry on here. Our choir, a bunch of choir are going. That was true last week as well. They carried on, and I appreciated it. But they had too many here today, and so they just stepped aside. That happened some. Rarely, I'm thankful, but it does happen. Hebrews 11 and verse number 7. We've been in a series on the issue of faith and honoring God and our faith. He says in verse 6 of chapter 11, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. Going to have to believe the Lord. Going to have to trust the Lord. Going to have to know what faith is. Faith is just taking God at His word and being confident in the Lord and what He has said, His promises to you. And down in verse 7, it's interesting. Here we are on Father's Day. And we're going to look here in verse 7 at a hardworking dad. And we're going to look at four things about that hardworking dad. I know you got a piece of paper, you got a bulletin there, but why don't you take a pen and write down these four things? This little verse is not that long, but it's packed with truth. And the title of the message is A Hardworking Dad. And the first thing that the Lord speaks about when it comes to Noah is his way of life. He was a man of faith. It says, by faith. And then number two, the Bible speaks about the warnings that God sent him and the fact that Noah was a man who feared God. He feared God. And so that it says, by faith being warned. So verse 7 there, first thing we've got, his way of life. He approached life as a man of faith. And that's what God wants every man to be, and every woman for that matter, every boy and girl, teenager. And the Lord wants us to deal with the warnings that He sends. And Noah listened to the warnings that God gave him, and he did what God wanted him to do. There is a third thing in that verse, and that is the work that God gave him. And it says down in verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. So he had to work. He had to build an ark. It was not easy. Does anybody know how many years it took to build that ark? Anybody know right offhand? How many? 120 years. That's right. It took a long time. Can you imagine getting a whole... I like easy projects on Saturday. I like ones that I can blow through, feel good about myself, and then do what I want to do. All right? And but he took upon himself a 120-year project in order not only to save his household, his wife, his sons, three sons, and their wives, but also this wonderful creation, all these animals that God had created. He took care of that. And so that was his work. But I want you to know something. There's a fourth thing about Noah and his faith. And remember that Noah is in the Bible. The Bible says that right before Jesus comes, it will be like the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Noah. So it'll be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Now that's talking about the literal second coming of Jesus Christ. We're studying some of that, by the way, on Wednesday nights, learning to differentiate those things. And I think it's good for teens. I think it's good for boys and girls. I think it's good for adults. That's why we're all together on Wednesday night. During the summer, here this summer. So, but I think it's pretty important stuff. And yet the Bible says about Noah, how he dealt with the world. Did you see that in verse 7? By faith, Noah being warned. So verse 7, we've got by faith, that's his way of life. He was a man of faith. Believed God, took him at his word. And he took the Lord's warnings. God's word is filled with warnings. And only fools run roughshod over those. And then he had a work to do. It says, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And then he had to deal with the world. And everybody will have to deal with the world. And that's a pretty important issue. It says, by the which he condemned the world. He said, I don't want that in my family. I don't want that in my heart and mind. I want to worship the Lord. And so in the days of Noah, the Bible says that he was the only one on the earth who found grace in the eyes of the Lord in Genesis chapter 6. And so we've got four big important things to look at. Let's just start with the first one. Daddy, let me say this. You're extremely important. We live in a world which is constantly downplaying the role of fathers. And I appreciate Mama and Grandmama, you praying about this, and I appreciate you as a Christian mom and dad that you being aware of this. When the Lord chose to identify Himself, He did not do it in a gender-neutral Bible. You know, He, as He described Himself so that I could understand what my little puny brain can comprehend of God. I'm still in K-3. We have a K-3 class in our Christian school, and I'm still in K-3, and we will be on this planet. There are things we're going to know once the Lord comes for us, or we close our eyes in this life and open them in the next with Jesus in His presence. We're going to be shocked at the things we're going to understand that we couldn't understand on this earth. But I do know that the Lord, well, let me go here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Noah, when the Lord describes Himself, He describes Himself as God the Father. And when He described His Son, so I can understand that, He described Him as God the Son. And when He described His Holy Spirit, He just says His Holy Spirit. He's also called the Holy Ghost in the Bible. So God the Father, that's extremely important. You can understand why the devil is fighting tooth and nail the issue of fatherhood. He doesn't want a man to become a father. He wants him to be intimidated and scared. I'll tell you what is it? $300,000 it costs, $400,000 to raise a child today. How can I do that? He doesn't want him to become a father. He supports abortion. He wants to kill little babies in mama's womb and have a man say, well, just take care of it. I don't care. I don't want that child. He wants him to have that spirit. That's the spirit of the world. He despises that. And also in a society that says, what is a dad? What is a father? He's unimportant. And that's a live hell. Don't listen to it. That's not the situation. So dad is important. And in Hebrews 11, verse 7, there's a dad who stepped up to the plate. And men, God help us to step up to the plate, to be the godly men that God wants us to be. Our role is extremely is fighting against it every day. Now, let me say one other thing before we get to that first issue. I keep trying to run over there too fast. It's a funny thing. In the day in which we live, the name of Noah, people automatically began to get an image of an older or a newer Hollywood movie. And probably the worst curse in the world is when Hollywood interpret the Bible for people. Do you think of Hollywood being a place inspired of heaven? Or do you think of Hollywood as a place that is inspired of hell? But yet, as I somehow say, well, look at there, they did something on the Bible. And maybe there's something good in there. But every time you look in there, you just get disappointed. I've got to the point, I have no desire to see any of those things. But I understand as I preach a message here on Noah and his faith, that unfortunately our thinking is corrupted because hell has had a hand in shaping our understanding. So you kind of have to forget all of those things, and you need to concentrate for just a little bit on the things that God said about this man. And the first thing that the Lord said was He loved that he was a man of faith, his way of life. He was a man of faith. A man of faith honors God by just taking God at His word and acting upon what God has said. He does not know the future. He does not know what will happen, but he is confident in what God has said, and he lets the word of God and the promises of the Lord to guide him as he makes the great choices and decisions of life. And life is about great choices and decisions. We have to make them all the time. And it's important that a man, early in his life, be a man of faith and believe God and say, I'm going to act upon the Word of God. There are three ways that people are living their lives today. Number one, they live their life in fear. There's a lot of people who are terribly, terribly afraid. And they're making all the great choices of life based upon their silly fears. A man of faith is a man of confidence. He believes in the Lord and His power to help him and guide him, protect him, and provide for him. And so he acts in the principles of God's Word, and he makes those choices. But many make choices out of fear. In the Old Testament, there were some kings, and it's sad. They were out of Judah. And at one point in their lives, several of these men had been very godly kings, and great things had happened in their lifetime. But then they had their enemies come against them, and the enemy was so great, greater than they thought even God himself could take care of, that they needed some help. And so they went to the temple, this beautiful place of worship, the center of worship in the nation of Judah, and they ripped out the gold, they ripped out the silver, they ripped out the brass, and they loaded it up, and they bought themselves some allies. Ultimately, the Lord judged them for what they did. And we live in a day in which people all of the time are selling the Lord out because they're living in fear. Their fears are overcoming them. So they're making the choices of life, not based upon the truths and the promises of God's Word, but upon their fears and making those choices. Hold your place in Hebrews. Go over to Luke chapter 12, and let me get you to look down at verse number 19. There's another way that men live this world. They live in this world on the basis of fun. All right, you say, well, preacher, is that bad? Is that wrong? Are you saying, no, I'm not saying that at all. I don't think there's any problem at all. God made this beautiful world. There's not a thing wrong with us going out and enjoying it. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the things that God has given you and provided for you. You enjoy your vehicles, you enjoy your home, you enjoy your furnishings. The Lord's blessed you, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you can get wrapped up in a world whose whole goal is to have fun. That's it. That is the bottom line. Have fun. When you go out the door to church, have fun. You know, wherever you go to the funeral, have fun. You know, well, no, you're not supposed to. There are some things in life that are not about fun. And the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 19, God required the soul of a very wealthy man who got so wealthy that he said, guess what? I don't have to work anymore. I'm going to dedicate my life to having fun. Hebrews 12, verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Don't have a care in the world again. Lie of hell. If you make your choices in life based on having fun, and again, please go back. There's nothing wrong with having fun in its position, in its place. But the Lord says, I am to be the priority over everything. And I am to have first place. I'm to have first place over your fun, over your relaxation. I should be first. And you have a chance to show that all of the time. Show that. There is a third way that men live. And that is, they don't live by fear. They don't live simply for fun. But they live in a life of faith and love of the Lord. In fact, four times in the Bible, both in the Old and the New Testament, the Lord says this simple statement, the just shall live by faith. And so if I'm going to live my life, I need to live it by faith. Confidence in the Lord, that is super important. I realize this, God can guide me. I'm looking for Him to give personal guidance. I may not know all the answers. I may know not what's going to happen tomorrow. But guess what? I have a God that does, and I'm perfectly confident that He will show me what I will do or what I should do when I get there and the choices that I need to make. The devil is really good about getting us to borrow problems years from now that we have no answers for. We may never get to that point, but he helps us to load it on. And as long as we'll live by fear, he'll load us up. The Lord is able to help. Now, the main thing, and let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11, in life, in a way of life, is just believing God. That's how people get saved. You know, Ashley, who made that profession of faith on Thursday night, Brother John did a tremendous job in sharing the gospel with this dear lady. She bowed her head publicly there, just inside her door with her neighbors coming and going, and she asked Jesus Christ to save her, I believe, for the very first time, that she understood that her salvation was not dependent upon herself and that Jesus Christ had done it all. And the only way to be saved was to put all of her hope of heaven, her confidence, in what Jesus did on the cross. It's not a prayer that I pray, but it is an understanding that I need a Savior and that Jesus Christ has come to be the Savior of the world. Jesus means Jehovah saves. That she received what Jesus did on the cross in payment for her sin wholly, completely. That's important. In fact, Ephesians chapter 3, I'm not going to get you to go over there, but the Bible says that the main thing about having a relationship with Jesus Christ is daily just believing Him in the issues of life. And so that is the main thing. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, I'm not going to get you to go over there, but we could. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9, I'm going to jot down later on, go over there, because the Bible teaches there that how Satan is defeated is by faith. Boy, he gets so upset when people believe God. It makes him so angry. I tell you what, how could you believe in God and to see somebody like Noah go out and believe God for 120 years with the devil throwing everything at him he could, society in the world throwing everything they could at him, they could think of to make fun of him and make a joke of what he was doing, and then it started raining. And everybody realized, hey, you know what? Maybe he had something there. Is it too late? And it was. It was too late. And so Satan is defeated by faith. And prayer, it works because of faith. And we have strength to have victory, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, because of faith. Well, we're not going to get by without faith. In fact, there in chapter 11 of Hebrews in verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All right, let's go to the second issue. Number one, his way of life. He was a man of faith, but the warnings of the Lord he listened to. Did you notice in verse 7? By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Aha, preacher! I thought you said he wasn't a scaredy cat. I thought you said he lived by faith. And here the Bible says that he was living by fear. You don't understand. You don't understand what he's talking about. There is a fear of generally life and all the things that'll scare you to death out there. Somebody waiting to under your car when you come out of the parking garage, or some sound you heard in the night, or there's all kinds of fear. Sometimes you lay at night and you start thinking. You can't go to sleep. You start thinking about things that could happen. And you think, what would I do? I have no idea. And then you lay awake at night filled with fear. That's not that kind of fear. When it says that he was moved with fear, it meant fear of the Lord. And that is a totally different ball game. The Bible says, and let's go through a few of these just quickly. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. We'll be over in the same area of the Bible, and so you'll be able to turn pretty quickly from them. But Proverbs 1, verse 7, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where I start getting an understanding about what this life is about. And in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom. And you know what? The Lord told Noah, I'm going to judge the earth. I'm going to do it with water. It's going to rain. And there's going to be a universal flood. And what I want you to do is build an ark for your family and anybody else who listens to your preaching over those 100. You and your sons go in those mountains. You fell that timber. You drag it down. And I'll give you the plans, you put it together, and you build that ark. And the Bible says that Noah listened. He was filled with fear of the Lord. He believed God, and he feared God. It's the start of wisdom. In Psalm 5 and verse 7, which is just a few pages back, Psalm 5 and verse number 7, the Bible says here that that worship begins with the fear of the Lord. As I come into this place, and I believe that worship begins with my toe tapping, or my hand raising. And we're not opposed to somebody's toe tap. I like to tap my toe. If you look up here, a lot of times it's tapping. I enjoy tapping my toe. I love beautiful music, and I love the melody and harmony, and especially as it's glorifying the Lord, and that's a blessing. But the Bible says here in Psalm chapter 5 and verse number 7, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear, I will worship toward thy holy temple. Let me read that again. Please listen. Because there's no way that you can come to a worship service like this and worship God without your heart being filled with fear of the Lord. You understand that God knows how many heartbeats you have. He has it all measured. He knows how many years you're going to live. The other day I saw a person. And their age, they were relatively young, they passed away, and I thought, there's no way they knew when they went to this place and went there that they were going to meet their Maker. And then I wondered, boy, were they saved? Did they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? if I'm going to worship God, the starting point is understanding who He is and His power over me. And the Lord says, chapter 5, verse 7, last part of the verse, "And in thy fear I worship toward thy holy temple." Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 26. Let's go over there just real quickly. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 26. It says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence." But you want to build your faith, then hear the Word of God and grow in your knowledge of the Lord as you hear and see Him in the Scriptures, and grow in your fear of the Lord. And by the way, fear is a reverence, it is a respect, and it is a response to a holy God by a sinful human being. Proverbs 19, since you're there, just a page or two over. Proverbs 19, verse 23, the Bible says over there, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life." Isn't that amazing? "As I fear God, then I live. The just shall live by faith." And the just shall live by the fear of the Lord. That's how they live. In fact, Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives and those animals that God gave them wisdom to bring together, they're the only ones that lived through that flood in that time in history. Why? Because he heard the warning of the Lord and he feared God. At least if you want to pray for something, ask God, "Lord, I want to grow in my faith in you and I want to grow in my fear of you. Lord, help me to understand what a great God and awesome God you are." And you watch the Lord do that. Well, third thing here, and as we begin to wind down, back in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 7, we want to see the work that he had to do. Now, work is important to a man. It is super important to a man. His whole life is kind of built around what he is or what he has done. Even when he retires or he is disabled, he goes back and he thinks about, you know, what he did. He may have been a contractor. He may have been a mechanic. He may have been an IT guy. May have been a bookkeeper, an accountant. He may have been a doctor or a nurse. He may have been EMT. But it's important to him. And his work is huge. And Hebrews 11, the Lord said, "I got a work for you to do, Noah." And he had to do it by faith. But he was faithful at it. It says, "By faith Noah learned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house." He built that ugly-looking thing that God told him didn't look like anything that the world had ever seen, and the world will never see anything like what God had him build. And it took 120 years to do it. And I'm sure that as people stopped by, at first they noticed Noah and his sons dragging that timber down and working it over and sawing and chopping and bringing in the pitch and all of that stuff. And he said, "You know, what kind of house are you building, Noah? You guys must be going to have a lot more kids. What is this? A multi-generational house? What are you building over here?" And he said, "Well, actually, I'm building an ark to the saving of my household and anybody that wants to join us. I'm going to be gathering animals from throughout the earth, and at the appointed time, and I'm not sure when it is, but I know God will tell me when it is, then the Lord's going to shut us in, and it's going to rain on this earth for 40 days and 40 nights. And everything on this earth will be destroyed, except those that are in that ark." And they said, "That's fascinating, Noah." And then they left, and they said, "The man's crazy. He's lost his gourd. I cannot believe that he's dedicating his life to something more useless than building a boat where there is no water and that it's going to rain." What is rain? Nobody on the earth had ever heard of anything such. They had not rained on the earth if you research the Bible and see that for yourself. And so he had tremendous opposition and ridicule. And what God asked him to do was difficult and hard. And there was uncertainty ahead, because I'm sure there were times after someone else came by and said, "Boy, you've come up quite a ways. What is this, Noah?" And he said, "Well, I'm actually building an ark. God has commanded me, Jehovah God, to build this great ark. And it's for my family and anybody that will join us, because God has decided the world is so wicked, he's going to judge it by water. And everybody on the earth is going to perish except those that are on this ark. It's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. It's going to be a flood." And I'm sure there were moments when he was extremely tired after a full day's work and there was so much more to be done, that he said to himself, "What is rain? I've never seen it before. And a flood here? I just can't see a flood. There's no water around here at all. And yeah, there was a lot of uncertainty ahead. What is rain? I've never seen it before. And what is a flood? I've never seen that before either." But you know what? He just was faithful in the work to do. Oh, be faithful. Be faithful to be a man of faith. Be faithful to be a man that fears God. Our families desperately need it. We are extremely much a key to our children understanding God Himself. Our understanding of God Himself, right? God described Himself not in a genderless way, but He said it's men that have rewritten God's Word to their own condemnation and curse. But He said God the Father and His Son, God the Son. Is God sexist? No, it's just the way in which God has made it so that we can understand who He is. Because we have fathers, and we know what sons are. I have two of them, and I have some grandsons, and we understand. And we understand that God, it's a way in which He can help us to understand who He is and what He's done in giving His only Son in payment for our sins. And it's all pretty important. Be faithful at the job. It is a lot of opposition and ridicule. It is difficult, and it is uncertain what lies ahead, but be faithful. There's one last thing here, and I notice in verse number 6 that his way of life, but without faith, verse 7, by faith, Noah, and then I notice that he was warned, and it filled his heart with the fear of the Lord. That's the right response. God warned you. You better listen. Being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. And I noticed that he took the work that God gave him to do. Be a man. Be a leader. Make it easy for your family to come to church. You come to church. You sacrifice to be in God's house. Make it easy. Why is it so often that it's the ladies that put out the sacrifice and God just can't make it? I tell you, I'm so glad Noah said, "Well, I just can't make it. I'm tired. You're 119. Guys, I've had enough. I tell you what, I just don't see this working out. And so if you want to finish it, you finish it. I'm going to go take a nap under a tree. Now work, be faithful." But number 4, you're going to have to deal with the world. And you're going to need to deal with the world on behalf of your family. What are you talking about, preacher? It says he condemned the world. You're in Hebrews. You just look down to verse 24. There's another man there. His name is Moses. He was given a tremendous opportunity. He was the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter, which meant that he could officially be in the line to be the next Pharaoh. He could be in the political movement. To be able to be probably maybe one of the most powerful people in the world. But he realized, having grown up in the palace, this is a wicked place. I don't want to be here. You know, this does something on the inside to me I don't like. It does something to my brain and my soul, my spirit. I don't want to be around this anymore. And in Hebrews 11, verse 24, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." What is that? The world. The world has its own philosophy about success, and you can accept the world's philosophy of success, or you can accept God's biblical philosophy of success. The world has a philosophy about what is fun and entertaining, and we hear the word entertainment so much, and the Lord has a philosophy about how my life is to be spent and how I'm to enjoy the things of the world anytime I so please. I have a free will choice. But God says, "I want you to line up with those of the past." In Hebrews 12 and verse 1, "Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, line up with those in other generations who said, the world ain't getting in here. The flood of judgment of this world and the stench of this world is not getting in here. This house, this home, our family is going to be a decent place, a godly place, a wholesome place. And you know what? I can't. The world is making its choices, and it's always going in a terrible spiral down to hell. And I'm not going that way, and I don't want any of my crowd to go that way. We want to go up. And so we're going to raise our standard. And so he dealt with the world. It's right there. How could he do it? He did it by faith. So, wow, we've got, by the way, let me mention quickly two other men, and I'll close. We've got Daniel. And I think he's been mentioned a couple of times over the last few weeks. You know, when Daniel 1, when he sat down to the banquet, all he had to do was to get along, was to go along. Now, Daniel, I know you're an Orthodox Jew. I think I've said this previously. I'm glad I can eat bacon. I'm not an Orthodox Jew. I'm not under the law, not under those dietary or those civil laws or those ceremonial laws. I'm glad not to be under those. But he was. And to obey God, he had to push himself back from Nebuchadnezzar's banqueting table and say, I can't eat that. All you have to do, Daniel, is just to get along, son, to stay alive. How long do you think you're going to be alive if you get the ear of Nebuchadnezzar and he hears about this? They're coming there and chop your head off. Just get along. I can't. I can't dishonor the Lord. I can't let this enter into my life. Thank God for the faith that God would help him out of the mess that created, because he's a man who stood for God. And God took care of it, and ultimately he led Nebuchadnezzar to the Lord. That's an amazing thing over there in Daniel 4, isn't it? Then we got Joseph. Oh, listen, I tell you what, the great disappointment of life of having your own brother sell you into slavery and probably curse you and wave at you as you're in chains and they're dragging you off into Egypt, counting their half-year salary that each one of them got for selling you into slavery, and then taking his coat of many colors, and already probably as he's being hauled off, tearing it up and plotting to take an animal and kill it and put the blood on there so they can show it to their daddy. And well, I think by the time he hit Potiphar's house and was bought into slavery, the average person would have said, listen, I tell you what, I'm just going to get along here. I'm going to go along, all right? And whatever they do in Egypt, when in Egypt, do as the Egyptians. That's what I'm going to do. I want to live a nice long life, and I want to get along. No, he didn't do that. Those terrible moments when Potiphar's wife took an interest in him, and he thought, Lord, what do I do? Lord, I don't want to dishonor you. God, I want to be moral. I want to be pure. What do I do? But the Lord encouraged him in his heart, and he just resisted her. But it's so easy for his flesh to say, when in Egypt, that's what they do over there. And, you know, I've just got to go along to get along. But he said, I don't want the world. I may be living in a worldly place called Egypt, but I'm going to live for God. And you know what? It was part of the saving of his whole family. You know, because of the stand that he made, 70-some-odd souls came out and into Egypt. That was all of Jacob's family who ultimately, through those folks, through Judah, his brother, Jesus Christ, would come into this world. And I'm going to have to make a decision about what I'm going to do with the world. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hey, how is your faith today, sir? Are you walking by faith, or has fear grabbed your soul? How is your fear of the Lord? Are you walking in the fear of the Lord, and you're finding wisdom for the challenges of life? How faithful are you to the work God gave you to do? It's a big responsibility to be a father. And when God himself describes himself as God the Father, and how full of the world, how much of the water of this world is seeping into the ark of your family life, and God puts you there to build an ark to keep it out? Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. There's a wonderful verse of scripture that has always spoken to me, and the Lord used it many, many years ago in the area of personal separation and worldliness. I believe we live in a time in which the water is flooding, the water of the, not the word, but the world, is flooding into the lives and families of individuals. It's so easy. It's just one trip online. It's just one more Hollywood movie that I just need some entertainment. One more thing, I realize, you know, I shouldn't be looking at this. I shouldn't have my kids watching. This isn't good. Proverbs 27 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet." What does that say? Well, it says some folks are so full that when they sit down to a meal and they're offering ice cream, which in the Bible, honeycomb is like ice cream in our day. I mean, you think the best ice cream you could get on a special occasion, and you sit down and you're so full that it doesn't even look good. You know, churches are filled today, good churches, Bible-believing churches just like this, with a lot of people who are so full of the world and so full of the falsehoods of this world that they can't sit down to the table and banquet with the Word of God. They can't receive it. They have no room. They're not interested. The full soul loatheth the honeycomb. Not full of the Lord and His Word, because that opens up a wonderful appetite. The more you eat, the more you want. But if you eat the world, then your desire for the things of God goes to zero. We live in our hearts at zero. Hey, where are you, sir? I believe that the start of great things in our country, great things in our community, great things in our church comes as we take a good look at ourselves and say, hey, there's too much of that water, not the Word, but the water of the world that's flowing into my life, and I need to stop it. Hey, won't you come? Won't you lay that before God? Help me, Lord, please. Won't you come? You may be here this morning and you just need to get saved. You may be a lady, a man, a teen, a boy or girl that's here. And as you look into your heart, you realize, you know, I'm like that lady you mentioned, Ashley, who in her doorstep, she'd been going to church. It could be somebody coming to this church their whole life. And they thought somehow that it depended upon themselves. I needed to pray this prayer. This prayer is what saved me. It's not a prayer. It's an understanding of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who He is, what He did on the cross, and in your heart, putting your faith and trust in that finished work completely. The most natural thing that happens to the human heart is to cry out to God, "Oh God, please save me. Lord, right now I ask You to. I'm depending on Jesus and His death, burial, and resurrection. Save me right now." God has never turned anyone. "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." He's not turning people away. This morning, won't you come? In a moment, we stand to our feet, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Meet me here. Let me help you. Father, thank You for the opportunity to look at this tremendous passage of Scripture. Hebrews 11, verse 7. Man of faith, his name is Noah. Lord, he made a lot of right decisions. We live in a day in which we need godly men to make good and right decisions. God, help us to be humble enough to admit that we often don't make good and right decisions. And often our houses are filled with a lot of water that's in there, and we're not sure how to get it out because we allowed some things to be opened up. And Lord, You protected Noah completely there in that ark. And I pray, Lord, that we'll shut out the water of the world because we are genuinely walking in faith. And that, Lord, we're hearing Your warnings. And we are filled with the fear of the Lord, not the fear of our shadow, fear of the devil, not the fear of the future, but the fear of the Lord. And then, Lord, help us to be faithful in the work that You've given us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Won't you